This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And yes, a great day where the focus of the entire nation has been trained upon our southern border, where there are tens of thousands of people literally who seem to be waiting in line for the stroke of midnight. It's almost like a fairy tale, right? That all of a sudden, boom, there's a clock that starts chiming out midnight. And all of a sudden, gates are opened and people are allowed by the tens of thousands into the United States. Is that what is happening on the southern border? Actually, Linda Chavez has been there. She is a senior fellow at the National Immigration Forum and one of the chair people for the Center for Equal Opportunity. She's written for the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the New Republic Commentary, and Reader's Digest. She is a friend of this show. She's somebody I greatly admire who served with distinction in the Reagan administration as the director of the Office of Public Liaison. Linda, welcome back from a trip to Tucson. And what you describe in your piece, which we've linked to at our website, what I saw at the southern border, what you saw is decidedly different from some of the media reports. How?
Well, first of all, I'm in Tucson, the Tucson sector along the border with Mexico. I walked into the building, saw lots of bilingual signs everywhere in Spanish and English, looked around, listened, and didn't hear a word of Spanish spoken, and realized that the 500 or so men, this was a center that served single individuals, men, who had been apprehended at the border by Border Patrol and brought to this service center so they could then apply for asylum and go on their way if they had family or friends living in the United States. But they were not from Latin America. I would say 85-90% of them were South Asians, mostly from India. I saw lots of Sikhs there. Saw some people who I assume were Muslim Indians, and I saw a number of Africans. Mauritania had a large contingent as well. So that was a big surprise to me, because what we normally think of when we see the pictures coming in from El Paso, we see people sleeping on the sidewalks there. Many of them are not single men, but families, and most of them are from Latin America, many of them from Central America, and at least until recently, many from places like Venezuela. So that was a big surprise to me.
Okay, so how is it that these people, and it's not a small number of people, because this is one institution you visited, is representative of a lot of other places as well, how is it that these people get from India or from Mauritania or even from Venezuela, where apparently there are literally thousands of these immigrants who are waiting for a bid for asylum who are Venezuelan. How do they get all of that distance, which is thousands of miles, into the Mexican border near Tucson?
Well, sadly, many of them are trafficked. They pay smugglers to get them to the border. Others who have more financial means at their disposal may actually be able to buy a ticket from someplace like Mumbai, maybe take it to somewhere in Latin America. And then they make the dangerous trek north, sometimes to places like the Darien Gap, one of the most difficult terrains in our hemisphere, and they walk. Or they take the train, or they take the bus, or they do a combination of all of those things. And they end up at the border. Now, Title 42, which, of course, will expire at midnight tonight, allowed Border Patrol to basically say to individuals who presented themselves, you have to leave. You present a potential health danger, and therefore we're not letting you in. That, however, is only one of the laws, and in fact, not the main law. That's a provision that was invoked during the pandemic and was invoked for public health reasons. Title 8 of our immigration laws actually gives Department of Homeland Security, our government, the chance to be able to take people and to remove them in an expedited way back to their country of origin or back to a third country if means is not available for them to go back. It is quite onerous because if you are expelled under Title 8, you cannot attempt to return to the United States for 5 years. If you do and you get caught, you end up in jail and you are prosecuted on a felony charge. And you may never be able to come to the United States legally after that happens. So that is now what's going to happen at the border. You're going to have people put into expedited removal, which usually takes a matter of days. Once that's happened, you're going to be barred for at least 5 years. Many of those who would hope to apply for asylum might be prevented from doing so if they end up getting removed under Title 8.
So what is likely to happen and what should happen? I know that the Biden administration, as you point out in your article, has provided pathways for expedited asylum for seekers from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. And then 300,000 migrants from Ukraine who are, if people from those countries don't get in this time and they are sent back, I guess, to Mexico, what happens to them?
Well, first of all, if they are from those countries, there now is a family reunification parole process that allows them to apply and at least come here for a temporary period so long as they have people in the United States who are willing to assume financial responsibility for them. And there are about 30,000 individuals per month from those countries you named that are allowed in, as well as people from Ukraine. So they will still have that avenue. And they should not attempt to come just by showing up at the border because, as I say, that could interfere with their ability to be able to come back legally at some point. I think we're going to see a mess at the border over the next several days. And, in fact, we've already been seeing it. I mean, the idea that the switch, you know, changes at midnight tonight, that was somehow going to open the floodgates. The floodgates, you know, have been, it's sort of like a system where you let a little bit of water in and maybe then a little bit more. Well, it's been doing that now for months. What should happen is that Congress should get serious about changing our laws. The reason people are coming and applying for asylum in the way they are is because that's what our law allows. Our law says you can come and claim asylum if you have a credible fear of persecution in your home country. And if we want to change that, if we want to make refinements to that process, it's got to be done by Congress in the law. But many of the people who are coming are simply coming for a better life. They don't have opportunities where they are, and they know that if they get into the United States, their lives, their children's lives are going to be better. We ought to be providing a way for those people to come legally. And frankly, Michael, you and I have been talking about this issue for a very long time, and Congress has been unwilling to do it. George W. Bush tried it in 2007. You know, there were just nobody is making the law changes in law.
And that is a huge problem. You can read more about it. We've posted Linda's most recent column at michaelmedved.com. Always important to hear the voice, particularly on this issue, by Linda Chavez, a senior fellow at the National Immigration Forum. We will be right back. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Are you feeling old or tired? This is your immune system telling you your body has too much acid. Is your stomach upset? Acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you really like? Well, Balance 7 will change all of that by diluting the acid buildup in your body. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and click on the banner for Balance 7. Use the code MEDVED and get $15 off your order. Call 800-793-9039. Free shipping plus a free bottle of My Smooth Skin and a money-back guarantee.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Michael Medved Show. Last night was a very big and dramatic night in the world of politics because New Hampshire is going to be the crucial first primary for Republicans. South Carolina is going to be the first primary for Democrats, but for Republicans it's going to be the Iowa caucuses, as usual, and then the New Hampshire primary. So at St. Anselm College last night in New Hampshire, CNN assembled a town hall where the Republican front runner, and there is no doubt at all that Donald Trump is the front runner for the Republican nomination for president, he had a feisty series of exchanges. It was actually unruly, as it's been described, but it was certainly combative between Caitlin Collins of CNN and President Trump. And the one thing that occurred to me watching it is that virtually everybody who watched the show last night that seemed to conclude that Trump came away helping himself. And supporters and detractors of former President Trump, this is from Donald Quinn at, Rob Quinn of Newser. Supporters and detractors of former President Trump don't agree on much, but many on both sides believe the CNN town hall event last night was a good night for Trump. During 70 minutes in front of a Trump-friendly audience in New Hampshire, and the audience seemed to be very biased in a Trump direction, and people asked about why that, Well, basically, it's still cold in New Hampshire, I guess, but it's also driving some distance, going to the trouble to see one politician on stage with one television journalist. If you're a supporter of Ron DeSantis or a supporter of Tim Scott or a supporter of Joe Biden or Robert Kennedy Jr., you're not going to come. People who come to this thing are going to be Trump enthusiasts, and they were. They laughed when he wanted them to laugh. They cheered when he wanted them to cheer. During 70 minutes in front of a Trump-friendly audience in New Hampshire, Trump repeated his lies about the 2020 election being stolen and mocked E. Jean Carroll, the woman he was found liable for sexually abusing in a verdict Tuesday. Moderator Caitlin Collins writes, Mr. Quinn struggled at times to push back, which underscored the challenges of fact-checking Trump in real time, the AP reported. Trump spoke through many attempts to interrupt him and called Collins a nasty person at one point. I hope that's the worst insult she ever gets. Trump got, as his first question, a question about his focus on the election of 2020 as a rigged election and a stolen election. And his response sounded like this, clip six.
We got 12 million more votes than we had in, as you know, in 2016. I actually say we did far better in that election. Got the most that anybody's ever gotten as a sitting president of the United States. I think that when you look at that result and when you look at what happened during that election, unless you're a very stupid person, you see what happens. A lot of the people in this audience, and maybe a couple that don't, but most people understand what happened. That was a rigged election, and it's a shame that we had to go through it. It's very bad for our country. All over the world, they looked at it, and they saw exactly what everyone else saw. You look, even if you just look recently, with the 51 intelligence agents, that made a 16-point difference.
Okay, the idea that President Trump is still hanging on to the idea that he won the election of 2020. He also sparred with Caitlin Collins, on what Pence could or couldn't have done on January 6th to actually reverse the result of the election. He was asked about whether he felt badly at all, because Mike Pence had been a friend of his, he'd been his vice president, about putting Mike Pence's life in danger. He denied that Pence's life was in any kind of danger at all. And then had this exchange. This is clip 24.
I like Mike Pence very much. He's a very fine man. He's a very nice man. He made a mistake. His lawyer said You cannot move. I called them the human conveyor belt. I said, even if the votes, you mean, I talked to his lawyer, even if the votes are absolutely fraudulent, he can't, yes, sir, he can't send them back. And the Democrats played it, and the RINOs played it. And then the election was over. They told him he couldn't do it. And Mike said to me, I can't do it. The lawyers told me he can't do it. They can't do it. But the lawyers were wrong, because right after the election, they all met, the RINOs and the Democrats, and they worked out a plan to make sure that future vice presidents don't do what I said you could do.
That's not what happened. You're referring to the Electoral Count Act.
I've read that.
There is no authority.
No,
legal experts,
me,
including Republican legal experts, say that he does not have that authority, Mr.
Caitlin,
President. But I want
why
to move
did
on.
They change the law then, saying that you can't do it?
They didn't change the law. They strengthened the law because they were worried about
oh,
presidents exploiting.
Oh, they strengthened
exploiting.
It, meaning you could do it.
Okay, the truth is she's completely correct. It was the Electoral Count Act of 1887 that was revised to take away any bogus claim that people ever made before that the vice president could somehow overturn the vote of more than 150 million American people. You just can't have that. And when they spoke after the event, they had the a CNN focus group where the people were asked about the election lies, that Trump had actually won the election when Biden had won by 4.5% in popular vote and by more than 7 million votes. And here's part of what the focus group sounded like when asked about Trump's lies about the stolen election. Clip 9.
Wouldn't it be good if he would just say, I'm ready to move on. It's 2024. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to be honest about it and move on. Wouldn't that be helpful? And then the news media wouldn't ask him about it if he would acknowledge it.
I'd like him to move on. I would like him to stop talking about it, but it is his opinion. So you have to attach that caveat, lie all the time. It just keeps it going. So it's his opinion, and he has a right to have it.
I think that he's committed to it. That's what he feels. That's what he thinks.
Well, do you
and
think he thinks that, or do you think just keeps saying it to try to will it for people like you to believe
no,
it?
No, I think he actually thinks it.
You do?
No, he may.
Even though he keeps losing in the courts over and over again.
He does say what's on his mind.
Okay, the idea that President Trump really, really believes that the election was stolen. By the way, if you hold that opinion, or if you had an opinion change last night by watching the proceedings, give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. If it either made you more likely to vote for Trump or less likely to back him up, what is it that he said about Ukraine that was so shocking? And what was it he said about the idea of default by this country, a potential financial catastrophe? We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Are you always tired with low energy? Do you suffer from indigestion issues and can't eat food you enjoy? Try Balance 7. Click on the Balance 7 banner at michaelmedved.com. Use the code MEDVED to get $15 off your order, free shipping, plus a bottle of My Smooth Skin. Money back guaranteed.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You USA News Update. The U.S. is dealing with a surge of migrants crossing the southern border today with the end of Title 42. The COVID-era policy allowed for migrants to be quickly turned back. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says challenges at the U.S.-Mexico border are due to Congress's inaction on immigration reform.
It is also the result of Congress's decision not to provide us with the resources we need and that we requested.
Some officials in border cities say they are overwhelmed with the new surge, and cities across the U.S. are preparing for the migrant influx. Today marks the formal end of the COVID-19 public health emergency. Mobile testing sites in New York City will be going away. At-home test kits will still be available, but in some cases, a doctor's visit may be required. The latest Walking Dead spinoff debuts on June 18th. Dave Collins, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
On the Michael Medved show, President Trump last night called January 6th, which most Americans, I think, believe is a very dark day for our country. It was a terrible day for our country. Aside from the police officers who were injured, more than 140 of them, and aside from the lives that were completely ruined. There are now over 500 people who have either pleaded guilty or been convicted of various crimes. Somebody who was convicted of 14 years in prison. They may all get pardoned if Trump gets elected. He said so last night. And what he also said is that not only was it a beautiful day, it's what President Trump said. He completely insisted that it wasn't true that Mike Pence's life was in danger. Mike Pence feels the opposite. The Secret Service that was assigned to Mike Pence and his family, because he was there with his family, indicate that they believe that his life was in danger. Here was President Trump on that subject and how Mike Pence really was the one to blame for the howling mob that was chanting, and you can hear it. I mean, it's not imagination. And it wasn't Antifa. It was the demonstrators themselves, many of whom have now admitted it, who were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence." And they had constructed a little mini gallows outside the Capitol building. But Trump saw it this way. This is clip 23.
It was your vice president, Mike Pence, who says that you endangered his life on that day.
I don't think he was in any danger.
Mr. President, do you feel that you owe him an apology?
No, because he did something wrong. He should have put the votes back to the state legislatures, and I think we would have had a different outcome. I really do.
But he doesn't have the authority to do that, as you know.
Applause from the audience. And then President Trump speaking very warmly about the Capitol rioters, which it seems to me that we're in May of 2023. For people to look at the Capitol rioters, and remember, President Trump honored them. He stood with his hand over his heart, and for his rally in Waco, Texas, they played a little choir of prisoners who had rioted on January 6th to try to inspire the crowd. And here's what President Trump said about the potential pardons. This is clip 20.
Will you pardon the January 6th rioters who were convicted of federal offenses?
I am inclined to pardon many of them. I can't say for every single one, because a couple of them, probably they got out of control. But, you know, when you look at Antifa, what they've done to Portland, and if you look at Antifa, look at what they've done to Minneapolis and so many other places. Look at what they did to Seattle and BLM. Many people were killed. These people, I'm not trying to justify anything, but you have two standards of justice in this country. And what they've done, and I love that question, because what they've done to so many people is nothing, nothing. And then what they've done to these people, they've persecuted these people. And yeah, my answer is, I am most likely, if I get in, I will most likely, I would say it will be a large portion of them.
A large portion of them that will be pardoned. By the way, do you know who said this? Which Republican said this? And said this actually the day after January 6th. He said, "I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. Those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those of you who broke the law, you will pay." You know who said that? Wasn't Mike Pence. Wasn't Bill Barr. It was President Trump. It was. It's featured today in a column by Karl Rove about the two versions of President Trump. And then there was a question about defaulting on our national debt. Now, this is one of those things. We're going to speak to Steve Forbes about this later in the program. And most economists and most economic thinkers think this would be a tremendous disaster. And it would be very painful. People would lose their jobs. People would see their savings wiped out. People would see a crash, major crash in the world economy if we defaulted on our debt because Congress can't reach an agreement. Well, here is President Trump speaking about that debt ceiling crisis, where the Republicans just barely got through the House, and a big triumph for Kevin McCarthy, a bill by two votes in the House of Representatives. Thank you for that, George Santos. They actually got that passed in the House in terms of reaching agreement with President Biden. Here is what President Trump has to say. Clip 18.
If they don't give you massive cuts, you're going to have to do a default. And I don't believe they're going to do a default, because I think the Democrats will absolutely cave, because you don't want to have that happen. But it's better than what we're doing right now, because we're spending money like drunken sailors.
So just to be clear, Mr. President, you think the U.S. should default if the White House does not agree to the spending cuts Republicans are demanding?
Well, you might as well do it now, because you'll do it later. because we have to save this country. Our country is dying. Our country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
You once said that using the debt ceiling as a negotiating wedge just could not happen. You said that when you were in the Oval Office.
That's when I was president.
So why is it different now that you're out of office?
Because now I'm not president.
And uproarious laughter. And then the most heated exchange where President Trump actually judged Caitlin Collins on stage occurred over the classified documents. And President Trump insisting that he had done nothing wrong with all of the boxes of classified documents that he had taken with him against the law to Mar-a-Lago. It sounded like this, clip four.
They didn't raid Obama.
But Joe Biden didn't ignore a subpoena to get those documents back like
Joe
you
Biden
did.
Took and so that's 1,850 boxes.
But that's the question that investigators have, I think, is why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them.
Are you
them.
Ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's
you
the
mind?
Answer?
Do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you. You're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
Why you held on to the documents?
I was negotiating, and we were talking to NARA, that's Washington, to bring whatever they want. They can have whatever they want. When we left Washington, we had the boxes lined up on the sidewalk outside for everybody. People are taking pictures of them. Everybody knew we were taking those boxes. And the GSA, government service, the GSA was the one taking them. They brought them down to Mar-a-Lago. We were negotiating with NARA. All of a sudden, they raid our house.
Okay, this is obviously, at least according to a lot of reports today, this is the one of the many charges against President Trump that he is most concerned about. I think that some of the questions about his actions on January 6th are even more serious, where there have been 1,012 people who have been charged with federal crimes so far, and more on the way. There would be a lot of pardons if Trump wins this election. Concerning the classified documents, the debate went on last night. The one thing that I think would have made this a much, much better session would have been if it had been Trump there with a chance to answer every question. But with different people answering questions, maybe a panel of three, maybe even four, different questions. So it's not Trump the bulldozer, as they say.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
There.
And on the Michael Medved show, after the event ended, the town hall meeting at St. Anselm College in New Hampshire, where President Trump confronted Caitlin Collins of CNN in a nationally televised, what they called a town meeting. But actually, there are people who apparently drove to the event from all over the state of New Hampshire and neighboring states, because there are parts of Massachusetts and Vermont that are nearby. Probably not that many from Vermont, but maybe some in Massachusetts. There's no question that the overwhelming majority of the audience was Trump supporters, but President Biden apparently watched, and he issued a tweet afterward. He doesn't have to do Truth Social. He does Twitter. And President Biden tweeted, "Do you want four more years of that?" It was a request for donations, of course. And it was also a reminder, Maggie Haberman of the New York Times writes, how much the Biden 2024 campaign is likely to be all about Donald Trump. For instance, the same way that Donald Trump wants to make everything about Joe Biden. He basically, when I talk about classified documents, Caitlin Collins was making the point that he had been subpoenaed. Biden was never subpoenaed, but he believes that Biden, as senator and vice president, was a greater offender than anybody. Listen, this is President Trump, clip 3.
just so you understand, the Presidential Records Act is not criminal. I took the documents. I'm allowed to. You know who else took them? Obama took them. Nixon took them.
Obama
Reagan
did not
took them.
Documents.
Oh, he didn't?
The difference here is that I'd like to know.
Reagan
National
took
Archives
them.
Says that President Obama
even Jimmy
did not
Carter,
take
even Mike Pence had some documents, and he's
you
a very honorable
Pence,
guy.
You reference
but you
Biden.
Know who took them more than anybody is Joe Biden. He has 1,800 boxes,
that's
and nobody even knows where they
you
are.
Know that.
1,800, and nobody talks about him.
Mr. President,
and they
that's
put
not accurate.
And they put a rough guy on us, and they in the
I
meantime
think it's
they have nobody.
Mr. President, to actually set the record straight here, they took documents, including Vice President Pence. When they realized they had documents, they turned them back over. The difference is that you waited to turn yours over, and it was a year and a half effort that included a subpoena with those documents. One question about what happened when you had those documents.
It included a raid on my house. That's what it included.
They didn't raid. You'd gotten a subpoena, and they had not been turned over yet.
They didn't raid Biden's house. You know what happened? They put him in the house. That's the one with the Corvette, where the documents were laying all over the floor. That was fine.
Then it came to the war in Ukraine. And this is one of those situations where there have, thank God, already been Republicans who have spoken out, who have indicated that Todd Young, senator from Indiana, have indicated this makes it impossible, really, to support Trump. If you believe that the war in Ukraine is about an important moral issue, it's life versus death. It's the desire of Ukrainians to live at peace next to a neighbor and to avoid having their territory and their lives and even their children kidnapped and taken away. He defended Vladimir Putin, or at least defended his silence on Vladimir Putin, this way. This is clip two.
Do you believe that Putin is a war criminal? He's responsible for the deaths of thousands
well,
of
Ukrainian
men and women.
Well, I think it's something that should not be discussed now. It should be discussed later, because right now we have to get a war. If you say he's a war criminal, it's going to be a lot tougher to make a deal to get this thing stopped, because if he's going to be a war criminal where people are going to go and grab him and execute him, he's going to fight a lot harder than he's fighting, you know, under the other circumstance. That's something to be discussed at a later date. Right now, we want
to
get that war settled. And I'm not talking about the money either. I'm talking about all the lives that are being, the number of people being killed in that war is far greater than you hear. When they blow up a city and those buildings come pouring down and then they say two people were injured, no, no, hundreds and thousands of people are being killed, and we have to get that war settled.
And in terms of how we settle it, there was this point of view from President Trump. Listen, clip one.
Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I don't think in terms of winning and losing. I think in terms of getting it settled so we stop killing all these people and breaking down.
Mr. President, can I just follow up on that because that's a really important statement. Can you say if you want Ukraine or Russia to win this war?
I want everybody to stop dying. They're dying. Russians and Ukrainians. I want them to stop dying. And I'll have that done. I'll have that done in 24 hours. I'll have it done. You need the power of the presidency to do it.
And the question about how he would use that power of the presidency, of course, he doesn't get into that. Chris Christie spoke about on Hugh Hewitt's radio show. He spoke about Trump being unable to say whether he wants Ukraine or Russia to win this war that's already claimed, as he acknowledges, thousands of casualties. This is Governor Christie.
I think he's a coward, and I think he's a puppet of Putin. I really do. I think, I don't know why. I say the truth. I can't figure it out. No, the conclusion to come to. He wouldn't say last night that Ukraine should win the war. I mean, I was stunned. It was, to me, it was the most stunning moment of the debate. If you won't say that you think Ukraine should win the war, I don't know where you stand with Putin. And, you know, to say that he could settle it in 24 hours, is the same kind of bravado that we heard 8 years ago when he said that he would build the wall across the entire border of Mexico and the United States, and Mexico would pay for it. And we have a wall that's about a fifth of what we need after his presidency, and Mexico hasn't paid their first peso to us yet.
Okay, and speaking of the wall, there was also an exchange with Caitlin Collins on that issue. This is clip 15. Listen.
When it comes to big questions about what your immigration policy would look like if you are reelected, some of your Republican rivals have criticized you for not fulfilling the promises that you made on the campaign trail, like finishing the border wall. So how did voters know that you would get those done if you're reelected?
I did finish the wall. I built the wall. I built hundreds of miles of wall, and I finished it. And then I said, we have to build some more because there are areas like water going through a dam. There are some areas where a lot of people are coming. You close up one and they come into another. And we started another 100 miles of wall. In fact, I said to my people, if we start this and don't finish it, and then we had a rigged election, I'm sorry to say it.
The election was not rigged,
oh, okay,
Mr.
Good,
President. You can't keep saying that all night long.
And so then they took over and they decided not to finish it. It would have taken them 3 weeks. I built hundreds of miles of wall. If we didn't have it, it would be hard to believe it could be any worse. They're just letting people flow into our country. Look, a country has to have borders. There's never been anything like that is happening to our country right now.
You built about 52 miles of new wall when you were in office, Mr. President.
Okay, and that, by the way, is true, because most of the construction and most of the money that he put was repairing a previous wall that had been built by George W. Bush, who built a lot more wall. He built about 800 miles worth of wall. All of this is extraordinary. And what does it mean politically? What is the impact? We'll talk about that with Jonathan Allen, a politics reporter for NBC News. We'll also be speaking, coming right up, to Steve Forbes about Trump's remarkable statement that he does not think there's anything wrong with a default, that it should not be necessary to raise the debt ceiling. Steve Forbes about inflation, about the prospects of recession, that if we do have a default, which heaven forbid, how bad could it be? We'll be talking about that and more with Steve Forbes, the chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, former presidential candidate, all coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Are you always tired with low energy? Do you suffer from indigestion issues and can't eat food you enjoy? Try Balance 7.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.